It's 8 o'clock in South Central Wisconsin, and under my voice you're hearing the final bars of Margaret Bonds' Troubled Water, performed by harpist Ashley Jackson. And we've got BBC World News coming up at 1 minute after the hour, followed by the 8 o'clock buzz with Tara Wilhelmi. You're listening to WORT 89.9 FM in Madison. And this is Peter Haney saying we'll see you on the back porch next week.
Hello, I'm Eileen McHugh with the BBC News. Dozens of world leaders and tens of thousands of Roman Catholics will attend the funeral of the Pope Francis on Saturday. The service will take place in the square in front of St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. Mark Lewin is there.
Tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. local time, Pope Francis' body and the coffin will be transferred to St. Peter's Basilica, which towers over St. Peter's Square, this gorgeous Renaissance and Baroque cathedral, 16th century, topped by the dome designed by Michelangelo, of course. And that is where he will lie in state between Wednesday and Saturday. And we're expecting very large crowds to go in and see his open casket and to pay their final farewell to Pope Francis.
The Vatican has released footage of Francis in an open coffin, dressed in a red robe with a mitre on his head and a rosary in his hands. The World Food Programme says it'll suspend vital aid to nearly 4 million vulnerable Ethiopians in May. The total includes around 650,000 malnourished women and children. Kalkadan Yebeltau reports from Addis Ababa.
More than 10 million Ethiopians are currently facing hunger or malnutrition, with humanitarian needs outpacing available resources. These include 3 million internally displaced people forced from their homes due to multiple conflicts across the country. WFP said the level of malnutrition had become alarmingly high. Ethiopia is also home to 800,000 refugees from its neighbors, including those fleeing the civil war in Sudan, something that has exacerbated the humanitarian needs. The UN's food agency has called for urgent new funding.
Police in Indian-administered Kashmir say 5 people have died after a gunman opened fire on a group of tourists. At least 12 others were injured. The attack took place in Pahalgam, a tourist magnet. Nikki Cardwell reports.
The Baisaran Valley is a top tourist destination, often referred to as mini Switzerland. It's surrounded by snow-capped mountains and pine forests. Kashmir has been experiencing an increase in tourism recently, following a fall in attacks by militants who oppose India's rule. Initial reports suggest the gunmen were lying in wait at a meadow and opened fire when the group emerged from woodland. The army has been drafted in to help hunt for the attackers. The chief minister of Jammu and Kashmir said he was shocked beyond belief, and the attack was much larger than anything directed at civilians in recent years.
The price of gold has hit a new high ahead of the publication of updated economic forecasts by the IMF. Its managing director said last week these would include notable markdowns but not recession, largely due to uncertainty and market volatility caused by President Trump's tariffs. Financial leaders arrive in Washington this week for the spring meetings of the IMF and the World Bank. This is the World News from the BBC.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Just Coffee, Madison's Fair Trade Roasting Cooperative. Just Coffee buys fair trade coffee to ensure equitable conditions for coffee grower cooperatives around the world and roasts locally in small batches. More information at 204-9011 or on the web at justcoffee.coop.
Do you have an insatiable curiosity about the world? Do you find yourself provoking conversations with your friends and coworkers? Are you a strong listener? Then you should consider applying to become the next host of A Public Affair, WORT's daily hour-long call-in talk program. We're now accepting applications for this volunteer position. The next host will be the voice of Tuesday's show and join a stellar lineup of folks who engage listeners in conversations on social, cultural, and political issues of importance every day of the week. We're looking for someone who is curious and well-informed, comfortable speaking on air, someone who can think on their feet, and has at least 5 hours a week to prepare and host the show. And of course, we'll need you to be here every Tuesday from 12 to 1 p.m. Apply by May 2nd. To find out more information or apply, go to WORTFM.org/talkhost.
Attention WORT volunteers and donors. WORT is holding an election for 2 open participating member seats and 1 open listener sponsor seat to serve 3-year terms on the board of directors of Back Porch Radio Broadcasting, Inc., with terms beginning at the annual meeting in June and concluding at the annual meeting in June 2028. Financial acumen, computer literacy, and a willingness to work within a dynamic group to help shape this great station are all desirable qualifications. People of underrepresented groups are strongly encouraged to apply. Some committee hours are required outside of board meetings. Applications must be received by 5 p.m. on Thursday, May 15th to ensure consideration. Voting begins Thursday, May 29th and continues until the annual meeting on Sunday, June 29th. More information and board applications are available at wardfm.org or on paper in the station lobby. Help us keep WORT a vibrant and important part of our community. Apply today.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Children's Theater of Madison, presenting The Trials, May 2nd through 11th in the Starlight Theater at the Madison Youth Art Center at 1055 East Mifflin Street. The Trials addresses the climate emergency and intergenerational conflict. The play is intended to spark discussion and debate about climate change, responsibility, and accountability. Recommended for ages 13 and up. Tickets and information at ctmtheater.org.
You're listening to WORT 89.9 Madison. Listener sponsored community radio.
The People's Station.
No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
Oh, I say, you've been misled. You've been had. You've been took.
Man, listen, this is 2023, and we swinging chairs. I am not my ancestors, B.
Good morning, Madison.
Okay.
Good morning, Madtown. It is a rainy day. So for all y'all that were like, where's Madison, Wisconsin spring? Welcome. Here you go. Thank you. I don't know. Welcome to it. Thank you for it. But that's what we got out there, that little bit chill, a little bit of cold rain. But that just means, what they used to say, John, they said April showers bring May flowers. So that's what we waiting on, is the May flowers. Thanks for tuning in. It's your Tuesday, 8 o'clock buzz with your girl, Tara, a.k.a. Big T of the Plug. That's where we're at right now. That's the mood we're bringing. Oh, my goodness. And, of course, you know where you are. You are at WORT 89.9 FM Madison Community Radio. So we've got a fabulous guest here for you today. He's making his way into the studio. Now, let me tell you that I have like 2 categories of interviews on this show. The first category is dope people that the team brings that I'm just as new and excited to meet and learn about as you all. And then the other side is dope people who I know, who I'm bringing to the light of the community. This young man is one of the latter. He is a super dope brother. I'll be surprised if most of y'all listening have not had some touch point with him. With no further ado, I'm going to let him sit down. This is what the first time I've seen him in forever and didn't just jump up and get a hug, but I'll wait till the end of the show. So all the fanfare, I know y'all wondering who it is. Mr. Julian Walters. Hey, brother. Hey. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for joining me here.
No problem. I'm happy to have you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, Even though I know you, I definitely Googled you. Mm-hmm. I like to Google people I know anyway. And it was crazy how many lives I've already had as a young person. And when I say young person, I mean like young adult. I don't mean like little kid. Nah, don't play with us. But under 40.
Yeah. Sure.
So that's a baby to some of us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes me feel, shaking his head like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That makes me feel good because some days I wake up and I don't feel so young and it's starting to shift and I'm like, am I getting to that turning point? Like I played basketball the other day and I'm still feeling it. So I feel good to be, you know, it feels good to be, young
adult. When you start feeling that stuff, you're a year past that, right?
I'm 30.
You're just 30? Yeah, oh, dang. Yeah. My fault, dude, man. He's a baby. I almost went back in the text messages after your recent birthday to see how old you told me you were. Mm-hmm. But I knew it was 30, but I was giving you a couple more years. Yes, it's going to, well, so I'll say that because you were so physically active as a younger person, it probably kind of, right? And then you haven't been, you've been doing more mental and, right? So that probably is part of it. Because for me, it was like 32, 35. Mm-hmm. Was where I started to notice the things.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, after 40, that kind of reversed. And like the energy I have, I mean, people have seen me more doing more things in the last couple years than they have in 20.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Right? Yeah, so it comes back around.
Yeah. I got something to look forward to.
Yes. My goodness. Okay, there's so many things to talk about. First of all, for those of you who do not know this young man, tell us a quick, like, your elevator speech bio.
Oh, man.
I know, right?
Julian Walters, Madison guy through and through, went through Madison Memorial before embarking on a basketball career that took me, that saw me finish at North Carolina Central. Shout out to the Eagles. We won our conference championship in 2018-2019 season. After that season, went overseas, and that was my dream, you know, to play professional basketball, had hoop dreams. And lo and behold, my first year, my rookie year, a worldwide pandemic breaks out, you know, so I'm back home. Everyone's back home. I don't know what the market is going to be like. I don't know what's going on. And so I always joke with my friends and family. It's like I'm back home. I'm an unpaid professional athlete. I don't know what's going on. And I always had an interest in real estate, you know, so while we were in isolation and things of that nature, I was, you know, self-teaching myself things, you know, YouTube, university, actually got my realtor's license. And then things just started to fall in place. From there, worked on the home buyers program with the Urban League, which was a program where we successfully bought and renovated, I wouldn't say depleted, but just homes that needed remodeling. And we sold them to income eligible families. So they basically walked into a brand new home. It was interest only, so there was very affordable payments. And so that was something I was really proud of. From there, and that was kind of my first kind of little taste of development. And from there, I was poached from by Commonwealth Companies, an affordable housing developer out of Fond du Lac, Fox Valley area, but they had a Madison office, and that was when I got into multifamily and commercial real estate. And so that was cool because while I was working on projects, you know, larger scale, 70, 80, 90 unit deals, I was also a part of the ACRE program out of Milwaukee, which is a program geared to helping young black developers, you know, not even young, just black developers, increasing minority stake in the commercial real estate industry. And so all those things were happening at once. I was figuring out where my life was headed, kind of had a new passion, a new purpose, and ended up, you know, starting my own company, Eminent Development Corporation. And since then, it's just been fast growth. You know what I mean? From there, it was, we're working on a project on Park Street, 44 units that's focused around youth who have aged out of foster care and giving them a place to live and helping them establish their independence. And the other 33 units in the building will be, you know, affordable units for people who are within the income threshold. So it's a lot. It's a lot going on. I know that's longer than the elevator speech, but that's kind of what we're doing right now. And, you know, I'll just kind of stop it there.
Oh, my goodness. Did y'all run that through, though, right? He said he left Madison, went to college ball, went to pro ball, came back because of COVID, decided, let me learn about real estate, got involved in running some dope programs, and now has his own development company that he just glossed over. Like, I know y'all kind of caught that, that development, but I really need you to understand that Park Lofts is the first I know of in our area, right? Is that, does that expand? I know for sure Dane County, but is there other thing? Are there other models similar to this youth building, youth serving building throughout our state? Like, is this just something that came out of, like, you saw a need in the community? Where did this idea come from? It's phenomenal.
Yeah, so definitely within the county, there's some other youth-focused type housing out in the, you know, Milwaukee area and things like that. Mm. But it was actually a need that Dane County saw. You know, every year, I think the number was like 100 young adults, youth, when they aged out of foster care, they were experiencing some sort of homelessness or housing crisis. And so that number's staggering if you, you know, on a year-to-year, on an annual basis. And so they selected an RFP. They issued an RFP, the city of Madison, and they solicited developers to come with their proposals, their concepts. And I think we were selected out of a group of like four. It went from four to two, and then we were ultimately selected, which was huge because it's my first project. But, you know, it's right here on Park Street. I went to elementary school 3 minutes up the road at Lincoln, 2 minutes up the road at James C. Wright. We do the block party around the corner at Penn Park. And it's really on the side of town that, you know, I grew up on and near and dear to my heart. And so it just seemed like the stars aligned kind of with this project, me being a Madison-based developer and working on something so impactful. But definitely for the Madison area, Dane County area, it's a prototype, and it's something that we're hoping to replicate. You know, we've got the utmost faith and confidence that we're going to execute it and carrying out the operations, and we're excited to kind of put these in other communities.
Absolutely. I would say, first of all, for those of you who don't know the acronym, RFP from the city is Request for Proposals. Mm-hmm. And so for those of us who do work that requires a competitive grant process or a proposal, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about that the city said, we're interested in this project, this idea to develop and it wasn't youth focused, or was it, that they were looking for?
Yeah, so it was kind of come with whatever component you think is most attractive, mm-hmm. and kind of set yourself out. So what we proposed was 44 units. 11 of them will be set aside for this targeted population. The age range is from 18 to 24. We're partnering with Just Dane. So shout out to Linda Ketchum and the good group of folks over there who will be providing services. But also, you know, being a community player, looking forward to other partnerships and bringing in different organizations to work with the greater population, but also this targeted population. You know, we're going to be creating tailored plans for them to ensure that, you know, they're getting the help and the assistance they need. And then, you know, the other wraparound services Just Dane will be providing. But we're excited to really to put this model forth and help people, you know, get a footprint and establish themselves economically. You know, housing is just one component of that. But all the other services that we're going to bring and the opportunities is what I'm really excited about. And just to kind of see them flourish and go from, you know, this independent kind of responsible living situation to, you know, maybe something more market based or, you know, home ownership, and just let them know the avenues that they can pursue and that's achievable for them. They just probably don't know it yet.
Well, in the world that I walk in, right? So mental health and recovery. Mm-hmm. Aging out of foster care has been talked about because of the impacts on mental health, mm-hmm. the impacts of substance use recovery, homelessness for sure. Like, mm-hmm. there's always this overlap because the reality is that you hit a certain age.
Yeah.
And it's here you go, yeah. Right? And you're put out into the world, and often there hasn't been, sadly, that investment of time and energy. When we think about the things that we prepare our own children for as they become adults, often that's missing in a foster care system, because the reality is that as kids get older, they're usually put in organizations like institutions versus homes. It's just not as appealing. Foster families aren't usually looking to bring in older teenage children.
Right.
And so it's already been an issue. So by the time that they age out of foster care, there's always been a drop off. Mm-hmm. So I love that you saw that and you're providing this stable place for them to mm-hmm. transition into adulthood, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's huge. Also, shout out to the team over at Just Dane. They're friends of the show, friends of me personally, right? Linda's one of my people.
Yeah.
And For those of y'all who are interested in what Just Dane does, go on to Ward FM, and they're in our Tuesday 8 o'clock Buzz archive. I know that I've talked to them at least once around this year. Last year, we were talking to them about an anniversary they're having. Yeah. So please go there and check out some of the work that they're doing on your own. Google them. You know, I always tell y'all, Google is our friend. Like I said, it was crazy how much stuff came up when I Googled you. I love Googling my friends. I do. Because it used to be a time in my life when I Googled people and it was like, it wasn't great stuff, right? Like we were part of the crew that grew up with the racketeering and all the different things happening in town. And so I love putting in somebody's name and brother, you had a list, right? Like I was showing that. I was sending it to the team. You're on the, so last year was a big year for you, right? Yeah. You were in business, the 40 under 40, right? Yes, that right?
Yes, ma'am.
You were also part of the most influential black leaders from 365 last year.
Yes,
so I'm not the only one that knows you dope, bro, right?
I appreciate that. It's funny because, you know, you're out here just kind of doing this stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, you're working, you know, I have my goals and my ambitions and, you know, my values, and those are what guide me. And you're not really thinking about kind of who's seeing it, you know what I mean? But I'm not going to sit here and say it's not cool to kind of be recognized, because it's definitely dope. But as someone who always had all their accolades athletically, it's been really like...
Uh-oh, what's going on?
It's been...
excuse us for a second. We're having some technical. I see John running in here. Go ahead, say something else.
Hello? Yeah, yep. We back.
We got it together.
And like I was saying, someone who's always had a lot of athletic accolades, it's been cool to be recognized, you know, professionally, socially, and things like that. Because really the biggest thing for me is just kind of alignment. You know, it allows me to have something tangible to say, okay, you know, you are heading in the right direction. Because I have days too, you know, imposter syndrome, all types of things where I'm like, am I really supposed to be doing this? But another thing it does is... it reassures my purpose and that God got me where he wants me in. And I'm doing the stuff that I'm supposed to be doing. And so it's a good feeling. I think that, you know, a lot of the things that connect me to this project have been the same things that kind of propelled me to success in some of these accolades. You know, we talk about the crisis that, you know, young adults face when they age out of foster care. But, you know, culturally, that's the same kind of thing. And I didn't face that. You know, I got friends and family and distant cousins who, you know, you always hear that stigma, you know, when you're 18, you got to figure it out. You got to get out of here and things like that. And I was fortunate to have a place to always call home. And because of that, you know, I was able to, when I needed to, come home, ground myself, lean on my foundation. And that kind of helped with my success because I always had a place where I could, you know, restart. And, you know, when we think about this project, that's essentially what we're doing. You know, the people who don't have parents or a support system, you know, we're going to be that kind of umbrella to help them get their feet, get them footed on the ground so that they can thrive. And so the accolades and all of that, you know, when you pull the curtain back and you go and you take it layer by layer, you know, it goes to my foundation and how I was raised, and that's directly correlated with the project that I'm doing now. So, like I said, the stars aligned, and it's really cool to see it flourish, and I'm excited to kind of continue this journey, you know, with my foundation and the people who have supported me, but then also, you know, being able to give back to other people who, to the community and to other people and help impact their lives.
So, first of all, when he talks about family, we've definitely had your mom on here a couple of times.
Okay, yeah.
So, the community calls her auntie. I'm going to call her what I've been telling my kids to call me, which is maternal goddess queen, right?
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
All the hats.
I like that.
But Miss Jackie Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so impressed mm-hmm. with her and all of her seeds mm-hmm. in this world, right?
Yeah.
She's been an inspiration and a support to me in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. Whatever side of the road we've stood on, I've known that she's been right there, right?
Because
she's had to cuss me out a couple times. She has. Like, but that's how we, real life, that's how you know you're really with somebody.
Yeah.
When they take that time to tell you when you're messing up.
Yeah.
And to understand you, because mm-hmm. the cuss out wasn't just a cuss out. It was a good conversation.
It came from love.
Yeah, oh, my goodness. Yeah. The story you're telling impacts me so much because I wasn't in foster care, but I was adopted.
Mm.
And so as a baby, a family took me in and made me theirs. And there's always been a disconnect and an understanding that this wasn't my blood.
Mm.
I was one of those kids at like 15. I was living out here in the world, right? It impacted me as a parent because like what you're saying about the 18, off top, my kids, it's 21 before I even wanted you to think about leaving because I thought about the things that I needed support with.
Mm-hmm.
My goal in life is to be that, exactly what you're talking about, the family house, right? I don't have a house of my own. I have a family house. Me and you talking about me getting my own, right? And it's much smaller than the family house because I've always had to maintain at least 3 bedrooms and a basement because I gave birth to 5 babies and we took in about another 4, right?
Yeah.
And so all of that means so much to me personally, because not being in foster care, but having that disconnect, I understand some of those things, right? Yeah. I really do feel like I got it out the mud and figured it out. And I just can't imagine what that would have looked like if there'd have been a structure for me to walk into, right? Yeah. A support system outside of the one that I found and have created myself. And I think that's usually the background when I sit down and I sit across from folks doing impactful work. If we trace it far enough back, it's because of our personal experience, right? That lived experience really informs what we care about in the world. And to be able to take it to that next level and create something that's going to be a legacy in our community, that's going to make an impactful change. And at the end of the day, it's uplifting you as well, right?
Yeah.
You and your team,
you
are now, you got to be around the youngest or close to youngest black male develop in our area, right? So y'all get ready to throw, see the next Google, the next accolade. A lot of folks only know you from this super dope event that you throw every year. And we're in year 5, and that's my number. I don't know why, but 5 is always like, same. Not because I have 5 kids, but that's probably why I have, I don't know. But I've always been drawn to that number, and like, I'm super excited for this year. I want to know a little bit about what motivated you to bring it, and then help us understand what it's like to throw it, because people look from the outside, and they don't understand the beast. Especially an annual reoccurring event.
So Juju's annual block party is something that I didn't actually come up with. I remember Johnny Winston used to throw when I was a kid, so shout out to Johnny. And I later learned that he did it, you know, someone did it before him. So it's kind of a generational thing, but selfishly, you know, I have a basketball background, and when I was at my, you know, peak or at the height of my career, you know, I couldn't wait to come home and play in it, except for there was no it. You know, there was no more block party. You know, Johnny had done 10 years or 11 years, and he was ready to pass the baton, and it was, you know, no one really there to capture it. So I think there was like a 9-10 year hiatus, and, you know, me being back home, transitioning into my new profession, I thought of a way, I was thinking about it, you know, and we have the whole basketball, you know, street ball tournament component of it. But I'm like, how can we make this, you know, like a incubator space of, you know, resources? You know, so we have at the event, you know, we got the activities for you to do. But we also, you know, we have black businesses there. We have community partners and organizations that help from, you know, entrepreneurship, you know, finances, housing, things like that. Meeting the community where they are, you know, a lot of the times from what I've seen in the conversations I've heard was, you know, people are capable and want to do things to better themselves and their families, their family environments. But these spaces where they have to go to, you know, talk and get these resources are intimidating. A mortgage loan is very intimidating for someone who's only been in low income housing or in subsidized housing. They don't know how to start the conversation. They know and want to put in the work, but that conversation and where it needs to be had isn't always in a place that's been kind to black people. You know, mortgage lenders, and you go through the history of the country, you know, there's predatory schemes and all types of things that our people would face. But when you're meeting people at in an environment that they're used to, and you're coming and saying, hey, we want to be in this community, that's one of the things I'm most proud of about the block party is you can go there and speak to a realtor. You can go there and speak to a loan officer. You can go there and speak to a moving out and just see what's out here for you to help you. And so that's one component of it that I wanted to bring and kind of add my flair to the existing block parties was bringing that resource component into it. And then just highlighting, you know, the excellence that's in our city, you know, different, you know, from the athletic standpoint to the black businesses that are there, the food trucks, the food vendors, the different organizations, the dance crews that come and perform, the artists. It's all representative of our community. And I think a lot of people who come don't always get to see that in a good light. You know, I've had some white friends come and they only know what the news tells them about black people. And so they're there and they're like, wow, you know, this is beautiful. I don't feel in danger. This person was really nice. It's like, yeah, like it's good. You know, it's more good than it is bad. And so, you know, those are just some highlights of it. You know, we do a backpack giveaway. There's free haircuts, you know, bouncy houses. You know, we got some NBA players coming. Shout out to Jalen Johnson and the foundation. And it's just, it's the goal is to make it feel like a big backyard barbecue. You know, when you just with your people and you kicking it, there's something to do for all ages. I mean, it's something that we're really proud of. You know, we were able to, the city redid the court. So, you know, we got good goals now and good, you know, concrete, I mean, blacktop. And so it's good and it's trending in the right direction. And I'm happy that the community is supporting and they saw the need for it and look forward to it every year like you and I do. Just want to give a shout out to you as well. You know, you've been there from the beginning, helping with the vendors, helping what you need, you know, especially when, and I still don't know what I'm doing, people, FYI, but just, you know, you having more experience with me with events and stuff.
Don't tell everybody that that's the truth. We be out here just doing.
Man, but, okay. Going, you got to go for it. And so, you know, you've always helped me and I'm excited to continue this partnership and continue to put this on with community people because it's not just me. It's so far from just me. I could never pull it off alone. And I appreciate your partnership and your support.
Man, it's been a thrill to be involved. I love, especially, you came along at a time that I was a little burnt out from doing my own stuff and was really looking, how do I plug into dope stuff in the city? Mm-hmm. But the decision there is who do you support and how? Because I also want to, I want longevity, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I've known from the jump that you were going to be a long-term partner,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then I would be remiss if I didn't talk a little basketball stuff because yeah, that was my team.
Yeah.
Yeah, I took it, y'all. GBG, shout out to my East Side Boys, the
shout
crew.
Out to
them.
Yeah.
Okay, because, yeah, we was looking sharp, too, because last year I had my sponsorship game together. We had nice jerseys.
Y'all came out there ready. Y'all did
we
it.
We was looking good,
shout
and they took
to
it. So
GBG.
They'll be back this year to defend that title. We trying to keep it on the East Side for a little while.
I don't
while.
Know
I'm just
about
saying.
That. Look. We're coming back southward. I had to make some calls right away. It was something about seeing them hold up that trophy. I'm like,
it felt
it's
way.
Love. It's show love. But I'm like,
they knew it.
The competitor in me. And then the Facebook stuff, I just love it. I love it.
But that's the energy we come. Okay, so.
Yeah.
You know, it's love. And just so y'all know, shout out GBG.
Yep.
Okay. We looking good. We they playing good. It's, we ready.
Facts.
What they say, they ready. Okay. But yeah, I mean, and then that's another thing. So I know the young men through my son.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Been around since I can't even remember when some of them weren't around. Right. Mm-hmm. Like this is really my one of my oldest son's long term friends. And so those of you who know the story, my son is doing time in Nevada.
Mm.
Anytime that you're away from the community, you start to see who's there, who's not, right?
Yeah.
And this is something me and him talked about throughout sentencing in that first couple of years. Like, don't take it too hard. People got lives. People mm-hmm. are going to be happy to see you when you come home.
Yeah.
But those young men have not only continued to be there in the terms of, like, when my son calls, they're answering, but to come around me
right.
as sons in the
right.
community. I can't tell you how much I did not realize the glue that my oldest son was.
Yeah.
I had just gotten so used to being in the house that needed a bunch of frozen pizzas all summer, right?
Right.
And then he was gone and that was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my daughters and my youngest son, mm-hmm. especially my youngest son, because we come from a family where those boys are tight like glue.
Right. Right.
So it never was a concern that they needed more masculine energy because they were a gang amongst themselves.
Right.
And then I have this youngest son who's underneath a bunch of sisters,
mm-hmm.
and now his older brother is gone.
Right.
From the household, mm-hmm. we talk to him. We're blessed to talk to him every day that I really can see his influence on my youngest son.
Mm-hmm.
But those boys and a few others in the community have been the ones that have circled around, and that's where that Mama T comes from, right?
Yeah.
And to watch them transition into their own young man journey, right? Yep. And to be able to help them, support them in their pursuits has been, it might be one of the more impactful things that I do, right? And it's one of those things that a lot of people probably don't even recognize that I've been behind the scenes with them for years and loving it. And now it's their opportunity. We've got some stuff coming that I can't wait to share with the community that's in that basketball world. But I didn't know that y'all basketball community was so... I mean, it's so supportive. Mm-hmm. It's this engine of black male positivity. And, you know, got some, like... soap opera-esque stuff too. And so it's always so interesting when I step into that space. A couple years ago, I got interested in music and I found out like our local music scene is a little like that. But I feel like the basketball community is one, y'all tend to be doing a lot of dope stuff and really support each other, even with that friendly rivalry, right?
Yeah. I think that like, one, it's kind of like a fraternity. Like, Madison's not that big, but, you know, when you're hooping and stuff like that, you grow up playing against people and you know him from this side of town, and it's a connector because you got that common interest. And so, you know, it's a beautiful thing that, you know, they wrapped around you like you wrapped around them when they were boys, because that's love. You know, that's the love that I show, you know, all my aunts and community moms as well, because we can't do it alone. A lot of us can't do it alone. We're not, we don't grow up in environments where we're able to do it alone. And so you need the help. I remember spending the night at other people's house because my mom had to work overnights and vice versa. You know what I mean? So it's definitely that. And, you know, for them to get older and know when you needed them and show up, you know, when you're in your vulnerable moments, that's beautiful because you did that for them when they were kids. So shout out to them. And that just goes to show, you know, that you guys did good with them. You know, their moms, you being Mama T, like, that's a beautiful thing. And I think that the transition from basketball player to man or young adulthood is critical. And it's something that I talk about because you see people playing basketball and once they're done, you know, they have identity issues and all types of things and things that make it so that they can't flourish, or so they think that, you know, they failed or this and that. And you know, it's a shift, and I faced it myself. It's not an easy transition going from a basketball player to real life, but when you take those lessons and the character that is built and apply it, you soar. You know, you wake up. If I tell you my schedule from college basketball, I'm in professional basketball, and how I've parlayed that into my schedule now in my routine, the biggest word is discipline. If you keep that discipline that you learn from playing sports, sacrificing for one another, it'll lead you into a professional or into a beneficial professional career too. And so that's that correlation that you're seeing. And it's not just with basketball. I'm just a proponent of kids and youth playing sports in general. It teaches you a lot of life lessons if you receive them and you take them. And so that's what I've done. That's what they're doing. And it's evident in how you see us living our lives.
Absolutely. That's one of those places that renews my faith and hope. When I go out here and I hear and I see so much of the negativity and some of the impacts of this world on our young men, that is absolutely one of those spaces where that hope and that good feeling is renewed. Mm-hmm. So I thank you for your part in that locally and for allowing for that to flourish at your event. Absolutely. Thank you. Because... I remember coming into some of this work and hearing about how after school programs need to be more than an open gym and pizza. Yeah. And that's real.
Yeah.
And we moved to add all these other things and we left that part out sometimes.
Yeah.
I see, right? And so it's this combination of all of that. It's the idea that we need a healthy, well-rounded existence and that there's so much more to be valued in team sports and the discipline and the cooperation, the competitiveness that is fruitful, right? So thank you for that part as well. Let's go back. Let's see. First of all, shout out to you. North Carolina is one of my, like, my brothers out there in the North Carolina basketball scene. It resonates what you said because he was also very active from a young age in all sports. Mm-hmm. He littered in everything except for wrestling, like, right? real talk. And so he went away to college to play football, but he landed back in basketball, which has always been his love, and he's still coaching, and he's coached at multiple different levels.
Yep.
Right now, he's coaching at a private high school, and I can see the fulfillment back in his eyes for what you're talking about.
Yeah.
He enjoyed the success of coaching at a college, a collegiate level, especially when he got to head coach because of the prominence that came with saying, yeah, I coach at such and such, right? Yeah. And I shout out to him because I love the bow ties. Yeah. He down south, it just changed his whole game a little bit. But I did not always see the individual fulfillment. Mm-hmm. And the difference is that he's at this area with these young men where so many things are transitioning, right?
Yep.
Their attitudes about the world, their attitudes and how they view themselves and their peers, mm-hmm. their drive and motivation to get past high school into college ball, into pro sports. Mm-hmm. So that comes with so much. They just went through March Madness in their tournament season, and they just did some traveling. And every other year I've watched this man go through that, it's been a drain.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah.
We have this group text, and he was so corny and funny in there, but it was joy.
Yeah.
Right? And so I've always grown up around sports, and I've always recognized the impacts that it can really have. But it's never a surprise to me when I have a dope conversation. There's two things that never surprise me about local dope black men. Y'all connection to sports in mm-hmm. the city. Because mm-hmm. we've got some dope football stuff going on, too.
Yeah, for sure.
And most of y'all know Mr. Robert Wynn.
Yeah.
Look the man said, yeah. I didn't even have to ask because I knew. I got to get this brother on here. But
super smart guy, super knowledgeable. He's been doing a lot of great work forever.
And it's crazy how he really has poured into so many of y'all. So those are two things that I'm never surprised, I almost expect now, because mm-hmm. those are kind of those foundations. A lot of that is what's led to some of the work I do, right? Mm-hmm. The mentoring. Finding men like yourself who have the time and the energy and the spirit to have conversations with our young men.
Yeah.
Who are some of the folks you look up to?
You know what's funny? And this is a funny question because I don't want to leave anybody out, but I look up to a lot of women. There's a lot of women who I respect, but there's a lot of men as well. My mom, first and foremost, my sister, my brother. You know, I got good older siblings who mm-hmm. I was able to learn through trial and error, but also supported me and was able to give me game. So my family's probably the first place, but then, you know, there's people I've seen come through things and help others and flourish. You know, yourself, I love what Brandy's done with Urban Triage. And those are some of the women who I, you know, first and foremost, let me take a step back. Rest in peace to Miss Malele Chikasa Anana. That was my, like, when I left, before I went to North Carolina Central, I transferred and I came home for a whole semester, the whole spring semester, and I was just like defeated. And what that woman did to me, what she spoke into me, changed my life. Because that was one of those moments where I kind of could have fell off the cliff. And she told me then, you know, she said, and I didn't want to hear it, and I was so mad when she said it. You know, we're downstairs in her basement, and she's like, you know, Julian, basketball's not your biggest calling. You know what I mean? Like, I can't wait till you see, you know, everything that I see in you. And I'm like, you know, I still got years of eligibility left. I'm about to go to the league. Like, what are you saying? You don't believe in me? She's like, that's not what I'm saying, but your calling is in basketball. And I always, like, that always stuck with me. You know what I mean? It always stuck with me because it was something I didn't want to hear. But then looking at how my life is playing out, it's like, you know, the elders, they're wise. So I like to be around them. But there's a lot of men. Reverend Pastor G, my church pastor, James Adams was a coach for me. Dr. Anthony, like, there's a lot of people I respect. Pastor Allen at Mount Zion, you know, other people from afar, Judge Everett Mitchell, and people who are doing things, you know, Mr. Wynn. It's too many to name. You know, you got community people, Jamal Eubanks, Tim Maimon. It's just a lot of people who you can pull from and who've poured into me at some point, whether it's just a conversation or taking me out to lunch. Jerome Dillard from Expo, that's my godfather. He's been there for a while, for my whole life. And then also, you know, lastly but not least, my dad. You know, I grew up at, you know, the product of a single parent household. And there was a lot of anger there. You know, there was a lot of anger and resentment. Me and my dad, my father and I had a conversation probably in my early 20s. And this is no disrespect to my mom or no shot at her, but I got to hear his side of the story. And as a man, you know, I'm not a woe is me type of guy. I'm gonna figure out the solution. So, you know, when I was at that age to kind of, you know, forgive him and hear what he said, a lot of stuff made sense. And I didn't really know what he was going through because I was a boy. But now talking to him as a man and understanding kind of some of the challenges he had and what he faced, and and how, you know, he couldn't kind of navigate that situation and ultimately why he decided to take a step back. You know, I understood it. Did it give him an excuse? Is it an excuse? No, but I understood it. And he's one of the people I look up to and I pull on a lot now because his wisdom. He's at a point now, he's telling me about regrets and what really matters in life and love and things like that. And he's being more vulnerable than I've ever seen him. I come from a very traditional masculinity type of family. You know, my grandfather was like this and he talks about how he never told him how he loves him and stuff like that. So just seeing him be vulnerable, him acknowledge his mistakes and be more impactful into our life and be more present and kind of trying to make up for that lost time, but also creating new memories has been beautiful. And I really respect him for that, because a lot of people can't face that quote unquote shame or guilt and come back around. They just die with that hole in their heart. And my dad has done a really good job at, you know, reconnecting and being grandpa to his grandchildren. And, you know, he's not all of our biological dad, but he's dad to all my mom's kids. He's granddad to all their kids. He unk to all my friends and pops. And so, you know, definitely last but not least, just because I'm the intangible piece, you know, the emotional piece, I've seen his journey and it's been beautiful to watch.
Man, that just hit me. Watching my 17-year-old go through something, kind of the beginning stages of that right now.
Yeah.
Yesterday I walked in on a conversation with him and his dad, and he didn't know I was in the room, and the things I was hearing hit me very differently. And so later on, we checked in about it, and I just was quiet and let him say what he had to say. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad I was, because his perspective is vastly different, right?
Right.
That's his dad and he's growing into manhood versus that's my ex and my baby daddy.
Right.
And I'm never going to hear him through the same, right? But what we have in common is this boy, and we got to figure out what that looks like.
Right.
And it was great for me to take a step back from something that would have usually been antagonizing for me, to be honest, but to focus on my son through it and make him the focus of it and to see that same thing.
Yeah.
And how important that is.
Yeah.
And I think that as a single mom, it's so easy to focus on what's not been there, right? I could give you
a long list. I know it.
Right?
I know it.
And recognizing with, especially with the young men, he knows that. He sees all that. And he don't want to hear about that from me or pops,
right?
He still has to figure out what it means to be a man within that. So I really appreciate you saying that. And for the rest of the ladies out there that might be experiencing something like that or feeling a little bit hopeless.
Yeah. Shout out to the single moms, man. I mean, it's not what we want. You know, we want two parent households and things like that. But I always speak life into it just because I'm a product of it. And, you know, on the days that you feel defeated or your energy's low, just hold on to the fact that, you know, your kids see you. I think that's the best thing I could have did for my mom is, you know, I always tell her I want to do this and that for you. I'm going to buy you a house and all of that. And that stuff is in the works. But it's like the biggest thing I could have did was live my life and be the best version of myself so that I can show I appreciated her sacrifices. You know what I mean? And that's something we talk about a lot. It's just that respect we have for one another. You know, I was never really, I got into some trouble when I was a kid, stuff that all kids do, not all kids, but, you know, minor stuff. But I never wanted to disappoint my mom. At the core of it, you know what I mean? Like, why didn't I do this or why didn't I do that? It's because, like, when I saw everybody else doing it or when it looked like it was something that was fun to do, you know, fast money, this, that, the girls, it was just like, nah, because at the end of it, I know how it ends and I can't, you know, my mom working overnight, she waking up, taking me to Raiders games, then she working overnight again, then she waking up and taking us to church. And then, you know, like, when did you sleep? So it's like, I'm not about to, I got to go for greatness, you know, and that's what I would like to say, you know, keep going because you never know who's watching, but definitely your kids are watching and they appreciate it. And as a product of that, you know, is there's no way I could pay you back. You know what I'm saying? So definitely stick in there. And to the kids, you know, make your parents proud. That's there's no shame in that. You know, you see all the YNs and, the, you know, all this stuff that people look cool. It's not, that's not cool, man. Like, be you first and foremost. Once you know yourself, everything else falls into place. That was a thing that I learned early on too. Like, I was always headstrong. You know what I mean? Like, I remember thinking people were cool and stuff like that. And then, like, I think I was early, maybe 2021, when I'm like, you know, the people I'm calling big bro or the people I think cool, they're not really cool. They're just older than me. Like, you got to show me something if you're older than me. Like, I don't call people big bro and this like that because you're older than me and I've known you. Like, you got to have, you got to be about what I'm about. You got to put me on game some sort of way. So I take that as a badge honor and I try to live my life like that. When people call me big bro, it's like, I love that because it's like you looking at me in a way where I can put some game into you. I can put you up on things. I ain't out here telling you to do this and that. I'm telling you the stuff that might look corny or the stuff that might take a little bit longer, but it's fruitful. It's beautiful on this other side. We don't have to hit a lick or go sell drugs and do all that stuff that people rap about. It's nah, man, it's a different world. You could work from home and live in Dubai and be, you know what I'm saying? It's just the world is so many opportunities now where you could be yourself and be cool and that's what it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a black developer in Madison, Wisconsin. I'm still Jew. I can still be Jew in this world. And I do it like I do it my way. There's things you have to do in places you have to kind of button it up and be, you know, really put on that look and that's okay because that comes with the game. But I'm Jew. I'm still on the South hanging out in the summer with ones on, with my homeboys that I went to the center with. But I'm also doing $17 million buildings.
Stop playing with him. Wait, so, y'all heard that. Yeah. Run that back. He said you could catch him on the South, but.
Yeah, you can catch me on the South.
But he's August still running 16th, that big business.
with my ones on and kicking it with my guys from the South that I hooped with and went to the center with. But it's also $17 million developments in the pipeline. You know what I'm saying? That are getting ready to be built. And so do it your way, man. Be yourself, you know. And that's what I want to say to the young folks who might be listening. Do it your way and be yourself. And don't fault on that, because the world gonna tell you who you should be if you listen. Mm. But don't take that advice. Take the advice I'm giving you. Be yourself.
Man, and let me just add, you heard him drop the number, right? And something that happens a lot of times in black liberation work is the money gets too big, yeah, or the fame, and God forbid both, and people fall off and the mission gets lost.
Yep.
So while we have to manage being who you are, staying true to self and developing that self.
Yeah.
We still have to live. I'm not anti-capitalism. People would think it. That's not it. Yeah. It's the evils that come along with it. That's the character flaws, right? The downfalls. And then remember where we started, you talking about what the purpose of this housing is.
Right.
So the reason I pulled that all together is that we need to understand that all three of those things exist.
Yes.
Right? Yes. You get to be you, and you looks like, was it, what day again, August who?
August 16th.
Okay, over there in Penn Park. Yeah. If y'all ain't been, y'all know, because as soon as y'all come on the South Side, you see all the people walking over, it's packed, it's a thing, right? Yeah. August 16th, we get to see Juju at Juju's block party. Stop playing with him. It's a great time. Even that, like you just said, is about the community, about resources.
Yeah.
But we're going to see you doing a lot more, mm-hmm, building those buildings and mm-hmm getting... I don't even want to guess where it's going to go, right?
Yeah.
You're going to come back next year and we're going to be talking about something totally different. And I love that.
Yeah.
But still being able to be impactful and solve a problem in our community, mm-hmm, thinking outside of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to you, Miss Jackie. Yeah, I there's a part of me that's like, I don't want to keep on putting her at the center of every conversation I have about her kids. And I love you, sis.
Yeah.
You're a gift to the world and she gave you to us.
I appreciate that. No, shout out to moms. I never get tired of hearing that and people giving her flowers. And I appreciate you acknowledging her, our family, and just your connection to it. You know, I've been knowing you for years and, you know, since I was a boy, and now to work with you and alongside of you as a man, it's been beautiful. So very happy about our own relationship directly as well. So shout out to you too.
You too. Thank you. It's a love fest in here, y'all.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in. It's your Tuesday, 8 o'clock buzz. You know, I love this platform. This is like one of my favorite things to do.
Oh, yeah, I love this. Can I come back? Like, this is dope.
All the time.
Yeah.
It's just an open invitation. Because you know what else we used to do is that sometimes people would just stop in and be here, part of the show, and that adds a whole nother energy.
Yeah.
So absolutely. Anytime you feel like it, text me, tell me you're on your way. Come on.
Yes.
You see, we got chairs.
Yeah, right?
Even if you're not the main guest, please come vibe with us.
Definitely come kick.
Because there's never anybody in here who's not impressive.
Right.
Maybe not as cool as you. But it's always talking about good stuff.
Yes. That's beautiful. This is beautiful.
Man, thank y'all for tuning in. 89.9 FM. It's been the Tuesday 8 o'clock buzz. Julian Walters joining your girl, Tara, a.k.a. Big T of the plug. Because did I not just plug y'all?
Plug y'all.
Okay, I plugged y'all. Come on, John. Give us some music.
Hope of the world is in our generation. It's all left up to us to change this present situation. Take a lesson from our elders. Don't make the same mistake. Let's rule the world with love. Get rid of all the hate. Taught us one thing, practice another. Just look what happened to the Indian and the brother. Hope of the world is in our generation. It's all left up to us to change this present situation. Our leaders make us fight. We don't know what for. If they want people killed, let them fight the war. It's gotta end somewhere. This killer's got to cease. If no one went to fight, we'd all live in peace. Our generation, it's all left up to us. Our generation, let's do just what we must. Straighten it out.
Straighten it out.
Gotta straighten it out.
Straighten it out.
Straighten it out.
Straighten it out.
Yeah.
There's a you, there's a better me. It's why we're together and stronger than they ever thought it could be. A world motherless can help care color this. A love for all people, no matter what the culture is. Our generation is making huge strides. A self-empowering movement that's on the rise. The more the doors open, the more the youth can see. A fair chance means a greater opportunity to have a brighter future, deeper insight. Work hard to be anything you want in life. It's what it's all about, the longevity. Educated enough to know what's ahead of me. Straighten it out, seeking you'll find. They can cage your body, but not your mind. We lay it all on the line in the struggle we grew. But together, here's what we gotta do.
Our generation, it's all left up to us. Our generation, let's do just what we must. Straighten it out.
Our generation,
straighten it out.
Come on.
Listening to Tuesday 8 o'clock Buzz on WORT 89.9 FM in Madison, Wisconsin.
coming up after this. 3 hours of folk music on Green Morning Radio with Brian Hirsch, right after the Insurgent Radio Kiosk. Make it a good week, people. Peace.
This is the Insurgent Radio Kiosk for Tuesday, April 22nd.
This is Bird Note. With her project, You Are Here, U.S. Poet Laureate Ada Limón seeks to connect people and nature through poetry. A major part of the project is a series of poetry installations in seven national parks. Each one is a picnic table with a poem on its surface, selected by Ada that's connected with the park or ecosystem, as well as a prompt to visitors, asking, what would you write in response to the landscape around you? At a 2024 dedication ceremony in Saguaro National Park, Ada talked about her hopes for the installations.
I want this to be a prompt for all of us to remember that our relationship with the natural world is a reciprocal one. We are meant to receive, but we are also meant to steward. Remember that you can also speak back and be in relationship to this place in particular.
For Saguaro National Park, Ada chose Cloud Song by Tha'anoa Othum poet Ophelia Zepeda. Ada closed the event with a reading of the poem.
Cloud Song. Greenly, they emerge. In colors of blue, they emerge. Whitely, they emerge. In colors of black, they are coming. Reddening, they are right here.